Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And now, the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver presents The Witching Hour.
The Witching Hour is brought to you by the Mysteries to Die For podcast. It starts with a body. Suspects line up. All have motive, but which one killed? Mysteries to Die For is the podcast for mystery lovers. Season 3 contains the first stories of series detectives like Sherlock Holmes, Monsieur Lecoq, and Hercule Poirot. Can you find the killer before these masters stage their grand reveals? Subscribe to Mysteries to Die For wherever you get your podcasts and put your skills to the test. That's the Mysteries to Die For podcast.
The Hunter, written by John Crinan, performed by Luke Condor.
Almost 12 o'clock. That was both the hour and my placement amongst the congregation who had gathered here tonight, our midnight gathering of old friends. We stood around a bonfire in a great circle, as if each of us stood on the hour markings of a clock with the fire at its centre. To my right, at 10 on the clock face, a stranger wearing a cherub mask stared silently into the flames. To my left, to my north star at 12, another mask, this time blank and featureless, utterly betraying its wearer. The faceless figure was at once both anonymous and instantly recognisable, as evidenced by the fan to his left, who pestered him as he attempted to remain focused on the flames. Trust a rock star to disguise himself with his own band's logo. I scanned the other figures around the bonfire. Our famous guest of honour may have chosen his mask poorly, but even with their faces covered, I felt that I recognised most of the people from the ceremony 10 years ago. 10 years to the very night. To the hour. The flame cast lurching shadows on the trees that surrounded a circular clearing. The darkness of the cool night was playing tricks on me. On any other night, I'd be long in bed. The early bird catches the worm. That's what my father had taught me. Not that my commitment to early nights had been making much difference lately. I hadn't slept properly in months. I closed my eyes and felt the weariness deep in my bones. The ritual had rid me of my problems once before, but I had been young, stupid, careless with my ask. Perhaps it would finally give me peace tonight. Perhaps I would finally be able to sleep. But the ritual wouldn't give me what I most desired without a sacrifice. I opened my eyes and stared at the object in my hands, a chalice. It had already made its way around the circle, but a few mouthfuls of the dark, viscous liquid remained. I knew what came next. The liquid draught hit my stomach like a stone. Its effect was instantaneous, a roaring in my ears, a blinding flash of light. I almost fell to my knees, but somehow I kept my balance. My head lolled and the top-heavy deer skull mask that I wore threatened to topple me. My voice joined the chorus of others as we repeated the words we said 10 years ago. We gathered souls, called to those eternal. Heed our pleas, this time infernal. Grant those worthy with your boundless power, their hearts desire this witching hour. And those whose metal may not suffice, may you claim their lives in sacrifice. As the chorus quieted, all I could hear was the crackling from the bonfire. I scratched at an old scar on my arm, near my wrist, and studied the tree line. These woods used to scare me as a child. I'd grown since then. The stock market trading floor was my domain now. I'd walked into the lion's den and not just survived, but thrived. But the confidence I knew from my other life escaped me as the towering trees loomed overhead. I caught a glimpse of a lioness mask across the flames and winced. I'd lived the last decade as a lion, but today I felt like sheep, a young boy again in the woods where my father had died. With exaggerated movement, I spun on my heel away from the bonfire and faced into the woods. The flames cast a long shadow across the loam before me. I saw the antlers of my mask dance in a herky-jerky motion across the litterfall. I had turned too quickly. My head continued to spin. Woozy, I took a step forward, outwards away from the circle of humans, followed by another step, and then another. Soon I was walking, an infant again, relearning these basic human movements. Something darted across my path, leaving a streak of colour across my vision. My gaze followed the creature, too slowly, as it disappeared behind a thicket of ferns. I felt a chill. What lurked out here in the darkness? What awaited me? But before the terror could grip me, a familiar face appeared from the brush. Purcell, my childhood dog, so named because of the amount of laundry he caused for my poor mum. An animal that I watched grow old and grey, pissing and shitting itself in the corner of the kitchen before ending up in a hole in the back garden, was now a sprightly pup again. This felt different to last time. Holding out my hand, I could see my fingers paint lines in the air in front of me. Here, boy. The dog turned to look at me, cocking its head at the sound of my voice. Come here, boy. The lovable mutt held my gaze for a second before spinning around to investigate something in the undergrowth. Suddenly it froze, staring off into the darkness, its nose twitching at some distant intrigue, a scent. Without warning, Purcell dashed off towards its target. In my woozy state, I had to do my best to weave in and out between the bushes. I crashed through a dense clod of bracken and cursed the animal. Hauling myself back to my feet, I set off in the direction I had last seen my childhood dog heading, away from the bonfire. I was chasing my past. With every drunken step, I felt a little more of the accumulated years of my adulthood leave my shoulders. I was transported back to my boyhood, chasing the family dog and losing myself in some game. I heard myself giggle, a carefree, childlike laughter that hadn't escaped my lips in years. But when my father got home, the laughter never lasted long. I stumbled, scraping my knees on some subterranean rock and falling flat on my face. I bit my tongue as my chin hit the forest floor. Purcell's wet nose nuzzled at the back of my neck as I spit out a mouthful of dirt and pulled myself onto my elbows. I reached out a heavy arm and gave him a scratch behind his ear. Purcell let out a little whine and I followed its gaze behind me where I had fallen. A deer lay there, a big one, dead and already well into the advanced stages of rot. Patches of its fur had split and caved in on itself as the meat of the animal had spoiled and oozed out onto the dirt. Flies swarmed us, maggots boiled under what remained of its skin and out of the wounds. I saw them begin to crawl over my legs. I pulled my legs away, trying my best to shoo and smack the horrid larvae off my trousers. I felt the bile rise in my throat as their wriggling bodies crawled over and through the hairs on my shins. Purcell whined again and I looked up. The deer. Not another deer. The deer. The one I'd just collapsed over in my haste. Now, like my dead dog, it was very much alive and standing proud in a shaft of sunlight. Wait, where had the sun come from? A minute ago it had been midnight, hadn't it? Had I been chasing this bloody dog all night? My skull felt like it was full of cotton wool. The majestic animal serenely lowered its head to graze as motes of blossom fluttered in the golden rays of sunshine. It was exactly as I remembered that ill-fated day so long ago. I could feel the warmth of the sun on the back of my neck. I felt happy again, contented, but aware that a change was coming. I stared at the animal from my vantage point, still lying flat on the ground. A smattering of harsh scrub shielded me from the stag's view. It would have been the perfect spot for a killing shot. I closed one eye to get a better view, almost as if looking down the sight of a gun. Then I heard his voice again, from behind my left ear. "Take the shot, lad. My father." A voice I hadn't heard in over 10 years. I faltered, taking my eye off the stag and beginning to turn to the sound of the old man's voice. "What are you doing, boy? You never take your eye off an animal. Not until you've taken the shot." I felt a smack across the back of my head, one so hard it blurred my vision. "Shoot, damn you!" My eyes attempted to locate the great beast again. Looking through the rifle's sight, where did this gun come from? I searched the foliage. I felt tears form in my eyes. I can't. Another smack knocked my protest away. "You're my own flesh and blood, and I didn't raise a softie." I squeezed my eyes shut, forgetting about the rifle in my hand, forgetting about the hunt, forgetting about everything except my father. I began to sob when his booming voice echoed firmly in my ears. "Look at me, boy." I was shaking. The weapon rattled in my grip. I said, "Look at me." I slowly opened my eyes. My father was standing there before me. His own eyes were two pinpricks of burning rage. There was some part of my brain that I remembered that I was a grown man, one who had bullied and manipulated to get what I wanted, who had gotten into drunken fist fights in bars and won, who had spat in the faces of those who had wronged me. But right now, in the old man's gaze, I was that frightened little kid again, the one who had run away from this place with my terrible secret and swore never to return. I hated that kid, hated that I had ever been that weak. And yet here I was, back again, unable to break my death stare with the one thing in this world that I was still scared of. I felt like I could piss myself at any moment if one of us didn't look away soon. Just as I worried that those two eyes might burn themselves permanently into my retinas, they popped out of existence, and in their place were the terrible eyes of the stag. It stared at me with the same intensity as my father just had. My hiding spot had been compromised. The animal could see me, perhaps into my soul. But no longer was it the same proud beast that I had failed to kill on that last hunt with Dad. Now the animal was the rotten carcass from the forest floor, impossibly standing, no, charging towards me. Its limbs were bone, draped with shreds of old skin. The meat still clinging to its frame was grey and spoiled. Black tendrils of its rancid guts hung and bounced from a great gash in its stomach. Its skull, its huge antlers, they were my mask staring back at me, and it was bearing down on my position. I jerked backwards as the horrid demon drew closer. There was no one here with me, not Purcell, not even my father, but in my hands I felt cold, hard steel. The rifle. Quickly I swung the barrel around, just as the reanimated stag corpse was upon me. I squeezed my eyes shut and blindly pulled the trigger. The shot was the loudest thing I'd ever heard. It cracked the trees and left a high-pitched whine in my ears. I waited. Slowly, cautiously, I opened my eyes. The monster was gone, and in its place was my father again. No longer frightening, but now frail. He clutched his gut. I looked down and saw blood staining his shirt. His skin was pale, almost as pale as the bone of the beast's skull. He stared at me, trying to mouth something, but the words wouldn't come. All I could hear was my heart hammering in my chest. Here it was, the terrible truth that I had tried to outrun all my life. The reason I had to leave this place. The reason for the nightmares that brought me back to perform this ritual. I couldn't kill the stag. I had killed my own father. He fell, and I found myself, just like I did all those years ago, running to his body. His eyes were almost closed by the time I reached his side. He never did manage to get those words out. The whine from the cataclysmic gunshot still echoed in my ears as his huge, calloused hand went slack in my grip. Through tears, I absently spotted a tick clinging to the skin of his wrist, drinking its fill from the dead man's arm. You're my own flesh and blood, and I didn't raise a softy. Flesh and blood. I looked down at this once strong man and felt unworthy in his presence. We shared blood, so why wasn't I more like him? Why did I feel so scared? All my life I expected to grow into someone that this man might be proud of. But we were nothing alike. For years I thought I might be adopted. Maybe he secretly wished that I was. The tick moved, perhaps sensing the demise of its host. A single drop of crimson formed where it had detached itself. Blood. I pinched a little parasite between my thumb and forefinger and squeezed. More of my father's blood fell from its tiny mouth. Without hesitation, I pushed the insect onto my own skin and willed it to bite. When I felt its tiny jaws connect, I squeezed hard, emptying its stomach and killing it instantly. My father's blood rushed into my veins. I felt stronger instantly, more capable. And the dog was back, happily licking my face and jumping over me as if I'd just returned home after years away, which I guess was true. You did good. You're a man now, a man who provides for his family. I was standing, rifle slung on one arm. The deer carcass at my feet, its last rattling breath leaving its ancient body. Time to take our prize home, son. There was a tearing sound as the old corpse separated from the forest floor, almost as if it had set down roots. With a strength I didn't know I had, I hauled the kill onto my shoulders. Persil nipped excitedly at my ankles. It was now my job to get the animal home, to skin it, gut it, and prepare the meat that would feed my family. A provider at last, with something to show for my effort, not just more meaningless zeros on a computer screen. With heavy steps, I began the long walk home, back the way I came. It was night again, but that didn't seem to matter. Time had no meaning now as I jumped between child an adult, day and night. I retraced my steps back towards the fire, and before long I saw the warm and welcoming glow of home. I thought I could see my mother standing in the light. She was beaming, so proud of her only child. I stepped across the threshold into that warmth, but something was wrong. My mother wasn't there, nor the dog. They evaporated like some mirage, like smoke. Shockingly fast, the warmth of the hearth became an inferno. Fire, brimstone. I felt the dry and ancient fur of the stag catch like kindling, turning the beast on my shoulders into a heavy wreath of flame. I screamed as the bonfire took me, and in that final moment I understood. The ritual had freed me from my nightmares. The witching hour had given me the thing that I desired most. Sleep consumed me.
The Witching Hour is produced by Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver and directed by Andy Conduit-Turner. Tonight's episode, The Hunter, was written by John Crennan and performed by Luke Condor. Music, sound, and editing are all from Duncan Muggleton, and additional sound effects are from freesound.org. Our entire series is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, which, as my dear old grandma always used to say, means don't sell it, don't edit it, don't use it as a low-cost meat alternative, but you can share it as much as you'd like. Until next time.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.